this morning about our prayers. So I desire interest in your prayers. And just thinking, had some thoughts expressed here in service not so long ago, maybe about prayers by others, what prayer is and that kind of thing. I specifically want to think about our prayers as sincere Christians in communication with our Heavenly Father, the Creator, the God of the universe. There's one thing about uttering a prayer, a random prayer, a prayer before a meal, and there's another dimension when it's our prayers. I'm thankful to have been raised in a home where prayer was a common commodity. I don't ever remember us sitting down at the table for a meal, whether it was breakfast in the morning, whether it was a noon meal or an evening meal. I never remember sitting down at my parents' table and growing up in the home without there being a prayer of thanksgiving for the food. My mother, because my father was working nights and wasn't home yet, my mother would always have prayer with us before we would go to school. And in the evening, my father and mother would always, we always had prayer before we went to bed. So prayer was a very common thing in our home growing up. I was very accustomed to it. And I want us to think about those prayers before we embark on a journey, on our day, at the close of day, those times when we express the feelings of our heart. I remember another time my parents would stop for prayer is when we got in the vehicle and we got ready to go on a long trip, get everything loaded up, and we're ready to head to visit relatives or just a family vacation or come to camp meeting, whether it was at Monarch or go to Myrtle or whatever it was. And before my dad would pull out of the driveway or my mother, whoever was driving at the time, they would stop and we would have a word of prayer. Ask for God's blessings and protection and ask for the Lord to look over our place while we were gone. Very thankful that the Lord heard those prayers. I believe He hears prayers. I hope that that comes through in our thought this morning, that I believe God hears prayers. I believe God answers prayers. I believe the Lord honors prayer. So I would like for us, in thinking about our prayers, I had a song come to my mind as I was kind of asking the Lord for direction for the service this Sunday during the week. And this song came to my mind. It's been recorded by various people, maybe various groups, and you probably have heard it at some point. When Mama prayed. It says, when Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. The angels spread their wings and stood prepared. Once again, old Satan knew he'd been defeated because God had heard my dear old Mama's prayer. In my yesteryears of childhood, my Mama's talk about having fun was Sunday morning meeting time every time those church bells rang. After our family devotion at night, while she'd lead me up those stairs, that's where first I heard the echo of my dear old mama's prayers. So I want to ask us this morning, as we consider our prayers as individuals, our prayers as individuals, does heaven pay attention? Do the angels spread their wings and stand prepared when we pray? Does the devil know that he's been defeated when we pray? I think it's time this morning I'd like to ask us to reflect about our prayers. In James, the 5th chapter, we'll start there with some scripture. In James chapter 5, I believe it's going to be verse 16, if I can find my spot here. He says in James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think another scripture in the Bible, I didn't look it up, but it talks about if the iron be blunt, the context is you have to put more force, more strength to it to accomplish the same task. So our prayers is something that should be able to cut to the root of the matter. All right? So if our prayers be blunt, I'm not talking about frank or that way. I'm talking about if our prayers are dulled, all right? Then it's going to take more praying to get to the point that it'll cut through whatever it is. And notice this verse here in James 5 and 16. He says, confess your faults one to another. Did you know if we have obstacles in our experience with the Lord, and we have obstacles in our relationships with other people, that it can hinder our prayers? It's going to cause us to feel less than confident when we come to the Lord. It's... You know, if you go to your employer to complain about one of your coworkers, and you're guilty of being negligent yourself, it just doesn't ring true, does it? But if you've been a very diligent employee, and you go to your employer and you say, hey, my coworker over here is really hindering my ability to do my job. And every time I go to turn to receive something from them, I can't accomplish my task because I'm waiting on them. They won't finish their project. I feel like I have to do some of their work or whatever the situation is. You know, if our employer is looking on us and saying, well, you know, if you would be ready when they were ready, things could go better. But if we're doing everything we possibly can, it resonates, doesn't it? You ever had one of those situations? And if we are doing everything in our power to keep our lives and our hearts clear before our fellow man and before God, then that's what he's talking about here. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There is an end result that is desired that will come about when we endeavor to make sure there's no obstacles in our prayers. The song said, At least from the writer's perspective, when Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. When Mama prayed, things happened. Have you ever known someone that said, well, I'll be praying about that. And you were a little alarmed that what they prayed about would happen? You know what I'm talking about? You know, that's one of those people that you feel like heaven pays attention when they pray. And I'm asking us today, assess our own, where are we at when we pray? Do we feel like we're scratching through a bunch of murky rubble? I don't know really where I'm at, Lord, but I know you're up there somewheres, and I need some help down here, and I sure would like it if you could help me out a little bit. Is that the way we pray? Or are we being able to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you know my life. You know the thoughts and intents of my heart. You know my uprisings and my downs. You know all about me. And I'm bringing this in confidence, knowing that you're my Father. You're the God of all creation. And I have a dilemma here that's out of my capability. It's beyond my power to control and to facilitate here. And I need some intervention. I need some divine assistance. The song said, at least from the writer's perspective, that the angels spread their wings and stood prepared. Prepared to go. Why? Because Mama prayed. And I'm asking us to think about our prayers. The last part of that 16th verse says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You believe that? I believe that. I believe the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Now, there's a lot of qualifiers here. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. So effectual, fervent, and righteous are all qualifiers for it to avail much. So for it to be effectual, it has to be something that communicates the need, the desire, the position, for it to be fervent. You know, it's one thing to pray and be able to recount every single burden that you know about. And it's another thing to put inflection in our words, in our tone, in our expression, to be able to convey the urgency and the sense of need in our prayers. You know, you can listen to another person's prayer and determine how passionate they are about things, right? And if somebody prays in a monotone and they don't put any inflection in the prayer, I'm going to tell you that I'm not saying they're not praying or they're not sincere, but when we become serious, it says, the scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer, fervent. What does that mean? If you turn the hot water faucet on and you don't get hot water, are you disappointed? Rodney, are you disappointed? Last week he said, turn the water on. It thought it let it run a little bit to get warm, and then never got warm. Because the water heater was dead. All right? So when we are fervent, there's an element of passion that's conveyed in that. So it says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. I want us to get past the point of prayer is going through the motions. I believe there's prayers that include going through the motions. All right? I think that I have an obligation to be thankful and express my thanks to the Lord, even if it's going through the motions before I eat my meal. All right? I'm not talking about a passionate, soul-searching prayer before I eat my green beans and my mashed potatoes and fried chicken. But I do believe that I owe God thanksgiving and appreciation, and it's sincere. I am grateful that I have food. I am grateful that I have health and strength. I'm grateful that He gives me another day. And some days I'm more grateful than others. But I'm grateful for the blessings that He, and I believe I need to communicate that to Him, even if I'm doing it in a mundane, routine, low, fervent tone of voice. But there's other things when it comes to communicating to the Lord our sense of desperation for intervention. It has to be more than that. If I stood up here this morning, and maybe I don't put as much inflection as I ought to, but if I stood up here this morning and I recited to you something that I had written down and memorized, and in an even tone of voice, how many of you would be asleep by the time I was finished? And how many of you would really say, I got something out of that? Probably not very many. And if you don't think that I believe in what I'm talking about, you're going to go home feeling kind of hum-ho too. So the Lord says here, through this writer, He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a what kind of person? A righteous person avails much. You want heaven to pay attention when you pray? You want the angels to be prepared? I do. I believe it's reality. I don't believe this is some kind of imaginary hocus-pocus, something that's just out there that a few kind of unusual people embrace. No, I believe it's for mankind at large. Assess our prayers. Am I being able to pray effectually, fervently? And do I have the qualifications to be classified as a righteous person? It makes a difference. If I'm an unrighteous person, I can't pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. If I'm an unrighteous person, then I need to seek God in a fervent manner for forgiveness. I need to start off on the right foot, on the right page. And once we are endeavoring to live by His precepts, and we're asking Him, Lord, help me this day to be acceptable in Your sight. Lord, I don't want to violate Your commandments. And we begin to cultivate a relationship with Him. Then when we can pray as a righteous person, you see, as a Christian. And it's not this random thing of I'm going to close my eyes or I'm going to bow on my knees or whatever I'm going to do. I'm going to humble my heart before the Lord and say, Lord, help me today. It's more than that. There's an avenue. I give you another little remedial airplane story. I haven't flown very much, but if you can be in a room this size full of people waiting to get on an airplane, and you can be right up there at the door getting ready to go in, and they'll start boarding the airplane and they'll say, all those that are in first class and military and all this can board now. And it doesn't matter if I've paid cash money for my ticket and I'm right at the door, if I'm riding in the back somewheres, I don't get to get on. The person in first class gets on. And before they'll let me on, they've already gave them a cold drink of water. And they're sitting there sipping on their ice water or whatever they're drinking while I'm going back to my I've been standing out there in the lobby. You know, I want us to be in a place where when we pray, it's a first-class prayer. I meet the qualifications. I'm in a place where I can pray. Because that's the kind of prayers that the angels are prepared to move on. That causes heaven to pay attention. Does he hear all men's prayers? I believe if we pray in sincerity, even the sinner's prayer, if it's a prayer of repentance, God listens. But I'm talking about making changes, moving things. He told us in one place if we had faith like a grain of mustard seed, there'd be a mountain that could be moved. So how about our prayers? Is a prayer just an experiment just to see if it'll work? I think it ought to be more than that. I think we ought to be in a place where we've got confidence. When I'm coming here, I know the Lord is listening. Because I've been doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. In Revelations, the 8th chapter, I want to notice a few verses here. It says, when Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. And here in the 8th chapter of Romans, it says in the 3rd verse beginning, it says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. One commentator says about this phrase, ascended up before God, that's in the 4th verse, is talking about it being acceptable in God's eyes, in God's sight. And he says here, this angel came and stood at the altar. He had a golden censer, and there was given to him incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. So there was incense and the prayers of the saints. The prayers of who? The righteous. It wasn't the prayer of ho-hum, yeah, I believe there's a God. Lord, if you're up there, would you help me out? That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that is sincerely living for God, and they're asking the Lord, Lord, I've got a problem here. I need some divine intervention. I have problems in my personal life. I have a difficulty in my professional life, with my occupation. I have a health issue, whatever it is. Lord, I need some help here. It's not some random call for just to see if there's somebody out there. What do you do when you walk up to a door that's locked? You wasn't planning on it locked. Knock on the door. Anybody home? Is that the way we pray? Knock on the door. Kind of hollow sound maybe on the other side. Anybody in there? No, that's not the kind of prayers I'm talking about. I'm talking about us talking to our Heavenly Father. Do we feel like we're talking to our Heavenly Father? Or we just feel like we're just... You ever seen somebody just take a firearm outside and just shoot up in the air? You ever done that before? The bullet comes down somewheres. I don't know where, but it come down somewheres. It can be dangerous. If you just walk outside, out the back door, boom, shoot a shell off up in the air, it's going to come down, I promise. It ain't going to stick on a cloud up there. And it might bump somebody when it comes down. But you know, that's not the way I want us to think about prayer. Prayer is not just going out and firing off around. Prayer is, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to my Father. You ask my boys if when they call me on the phone, do you know who you're talking to? There's no question in their mind. Yeah, I know who I was talking to. I was talking to Dad. Are you talking to your Heavenly Father? Do you have that relationship with Him? Where I can call Him Father? talked a little bit this last Wednesday night, brought up the subject of what does God mean to us? One person said, He's a father. I never really had a father. He's a father. It stood out to me. Is He your father? Is He somebody that you pray to and you say, Oh God, my Father in heaven, I got this problem in my life. I got this area of need. Will You have mercy on me? Is that the way we pray? Or is it like knocking on the hollow? We got to find something hollow. That sounds more hollow. Knocking on a hollow door and saying, anybody in there? Sure like to have somebody come out and reinforce me a little bit. No, that's not what I'm talking. We're praying like it's our Father. It's real, you see. That's the kind of prayers that'll cause things to happen. That's how we make connection. So here in Revelation, it said the angel brought the prayers and the incense, and it went up, and it was, if you'll allow me to interpret it a little bit, it was acceptable in God's sight because it was the prayer of who? It was the prayer of the saints, of the righteous. And then I'd like for us to turn, keep that thought in mind. Let's go to Psalms 141 and notice beginning in verse 1, I believe it is. Psalms 141 and verse 1, it says, Lord, I cry unto Thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Psalm of David, it says. David was a man that the Scripture records as being a man after God's own heart. And he said here, let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. As my surrender to Your will, is the lifting up of my hands as a surrender of my will, as an evening sacrifice, as something I'm giving to You. And then in 1 Timothy 2 and 8, anybody know what that says? 1 Timothy 2 and 8, he says that men, in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 and 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath. That's someone that has got rid of that rubbish out of their life. You ever tried to pray around wrath? You ever tried to pray around or over doubt? Kind of hard to do. Kind of hard to go from that prayer with confidence that God heard. If you enter into praying doubting, or you enter into praying mad, it's pretty tough to get up and say amen and think, well, the Lord's going to do something for me. It just don't happen very often. If you go to prayer breathing threatenings, and wishing somebody would be hurt or something bad would happen to something, you know, it's pretty hard to get up from there and say, yep, I believe the Lord's going to do it. Them folks better watch out. God's going to burn their house down. You know, just not the way to pray. You want heaven to be moved? You want the angels to stand prepared? Then we're going to have to get rid of the doubt and the wrath. We're going to have to approach it from the right perspective. We're going to have to get our act together, so to speak. We're going to have to ask God to help us with those personal dysfunctions. He says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. You know, it's pretty hard to defend yourself if you're holding your hands up. Right? It's one thing to have your hands down like this and defend yourself, but it's another thing to hold your hands up. You're pretty vulnerable. And he says, I will that man pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. The prayers going up as an incense and the hands as a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my will. I'm sacrificing my self-defense. Lord, I don't know what's best for me. I think I know, but I don't really know. And I'm asking you, Lord, to work, do something in my life. I got an issue here that's bigger than I am. I don't know what to do with it. I need some help. I got a whatever problem I have. I'm lifting up my hands. Figuratively, I'm lifting up my hands. I'm giving you my will. I'm giving you the things that I think ought to happen. You know, most of the time when we have a burden about something, we think we know what ought to happen. We pray about somebody else and we think that they ought to do something different. And we're going to have a plan in mind and we think they ought to do whatever. We're going to have to give that to the Lord. We're going to have to sacrifice it to Him if we want heaven to be moved. So what about our prayers? Do you think heaven's moved? Or have you lost so much confidence in prayer that you wonder if heaven is even up there? Good question. Luke, the 18th chapter. I'm going to turn there and notice a couple verses. It says in Luke 18, beginning with verse 1, he says, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I want to tell you, if you've kind of thought that prayer didn't do any good, let's go re-examine that. If you kind of lost interest, if you kind of lost confidence in the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, I want you to reassess where you're at this morning. He says here that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you feel like your prayers aren't really working, then listen to this parable. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but you know the parable. This is where the widow went to the unjust judge. And she kept going back and asking, and going back and asking, and going back and asking. And we lead down here in that sixth verse, and it says, The Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's a big question for us today. When the Lord comes for you, when he comes for me, when he comes for mankind, will he find faith? When he comes for me, will he find me still believing that he's real? That he hears prayers? That he answers prayers? Will he find that in me when it comes my time? Well, does he find that in you? And will he find it in mankind? He says here, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Above that he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Why is he bearing long with them? They probably got something they need to get worked out. And they're coming and asking him to do something for them, and there is something they need to get straightened out in their own experience that's hindering him from being moved. He bears long with us. Another scripture talks about people not receiving answers to their prayer because they ask amiss. You know, we can ask amiss. I know that I'm not the wisest person in the world. And I know that there are times that I would like to have things that I don't have any business having. And there's times that I think I want to do something, and if I did get to do it, I'd find out I didn't want to after all. You know, many times when we start asking God for something in prayer, the reason that it's not just, it doesn't immediately transpire is because the Lord sees He's working on, He needs to work on something in us. And that's what He's bearing. He says He bears long with us, even though the Lord bears long with us. When we get in the place where He can, and we're praying in the right frame of mind, He will answer. I believe that. All right? Lord, help me with the things that I'd like to see different in life. What is it that I need to change in myself? And then if we skip down a little bit in this same chapter, 9th verse, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know what this one's about. This one's about the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. One man thought that he was righteous and no one could touch him. And the other man realized that he was miserable and undone. In the 13th verse he says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I wonder about the mama that inspired that song. I wonder how they prayed. I wonder if they prayed, oh God, you see I'm such a great mother, and I have this highly desirable place in life, and I have these responsibilities of these children, and is that the way you think she prayed? I doubt it. I would imagine the one that wrote that song had an experience with a mother that cried out and said, Lord, I need some help. I feel that I'm not the best mother that could ever be. I feel that I'm so incapable in myself. Lord, I'm trying to live to the best I know and understand. Lord, I need direction. I need some mercy. I need some assistance here. And that's the kind of prayer that got through. That's the kind of prayers that moved heaven. I want to read one last verse. 1 Thessalonians. Well, not the last verse, but we're getting close. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It seemed like the Apostle Paul had a little list he went through. He says here in verse 17 of chapter 5, he says, pray without ceasing. Don't quit praying. Realize the Lord may be bearing long with me. Remember, I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, I want something to change. I need something to change. I'm desperate for something to change. And the Lord is bearing with us because He sees something that needs to change in us. Child, I can't do that until something changes in you. So I want to give you a little tip. You praying about something? You want to see something change? Maybe it's big. Maybe you want to see your life change dramatically. And you've prayed multiple times and you don't see the change. This is kind of like advice that Eli gave Samuel. Eli told Samuel, you go back and the next time you hear your name, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If we're praying about a big thing in our life and it's not changing, it's not doing what we want it to do, then maybe we ought to change our prayer and say, Lord, is there something in me that's keeping you from answering that prayer? I'm talking about our prayers and prayers that make heaven move and cause the angels to be prepared. If I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, I'm hurting. I need some help. I want things to be different. And things are not getting any different. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, what I need to do. Lord, can you reveal to me what I can do to help things be different? I want it. I want my prayer to be answered. And I know you're probably bearing with me. You're suffering long with me. What is it, Lord? You see, I'm talking about prayers that make things different. It changes things. I believe that prayer makes a difference. I believe it will change our circumstances. It'll change our life. It'll cause us to be able to realize that God was moved on His throne. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I would venture to say, if you came into the chapel today, if somebody would have stood at the door and said, do you believe that praying is the right thing to do? That's all they ask you. I would venture to say that everybody that came in today would have said, well, yeah, I think prayer is the right thing to do. Then don't quit praying. It says here, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't quit praying about the things that you want to be different. We may have to back up and say, Lord, I don't know why this doesn't change, but if there's something that needs to change in me, help me to know what to do first. We may have to stop and back up a little bit and pray for ourselves. But I believe that prayer will work. It will change. It will cause the circumstances to be different. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and the 3rd verse, says this. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't allow yourself to become weary in praying. Don't allow yourself. You have to encourage yourself to keep doing the right thing. The right thing is to take our troubles to the Lord. The right thing is to tell Him the things that trouble us, that bother us, the things that we want to do be different. The things that we want to change, that's the right thing to do. And don't stop it. Continue to take our troubles to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what needs to change. Maybe there's something that needs to change in me first before it can change in them. Help me, Lord, to know what that is. And not just know it, but to do it. Because I really want some change to happen in their lives. I really want some changes to happen in the circumstances. So I want to ask you this morning, how is it with your prayers? When you pray, do you feel like you get through? You ever heard that expression, praying through? You know what it means? It means pulling out all the stops. It means you lay your heart bare before the Lord. It means there's some fervency involved. You know, there's been people that have sought the Lord for salvation and prayed through. We're going to all have to pray through to get it. We're going to have to be willing to lay ourselves bare before the Lord. I trust I've been clear. with the thought this morning. I want us all to know that when we pray, it's connected on the other end. I don't want it to be a random shot. I don't want it to just be a round fired off in the air. I want it to be knowing I was talking to my Father. I was talking to my Heavenly Father, and He heard my prayer. I don't know how He's going to answer it necessarily, but He heard my prayer. May the Lord help us all. You pray for me.